It's great to have you all with us this morning. If you've been with us the past 2 weeks, we're going through our Advent series. It's a series that's leading up with anticipation towards the celebration of Christmas, towards the celebration of Christ's birth. As we rapidly approach Christmas Day, like I said, it's very close. I'm sure everyone who hasn't finished their Christmas shopping is aware of how close Christmas Day is. But as we rapidly approach Christmas Day, it becomes ever more important for us to be lights in a broken world. And so that's our focus for this morning with our sermon, but I want to start us off with a word of prayer, if you'll join me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you so much for this time that we could just gather together in your name and sing songs of praise to you and bring glory to you through our offering of worship. Father, we pray now as we dig into Scripture that you would speak into our minds, speak into our hearts, speak into our lives, God. We know that you have a message for each of us that's unique to each of us. I can't even name the amount of times that I've gone to a church service, Lord, and I hear the sermon and you speak something that no one else would have heard, but because you wanted to speak it to me, you spoke it through the sermon. So I pray that our hearts this morning would be open to whatever message it is that you have in store for us. Father, we just praise you and we thank you. We pray this in your name. Amen. If you'll open your Bibles with me to John chapter 1, we'll be in there this morning. We're focusing in on a few select verses, but we're going to be reading everything in between as well for context purposes. So John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light." So I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time in verses 1 through 5 this morning, but I think the context is important in order for our understanding of 6 through 8 to be more complete. And so John opens his gospel by explaining to us who God is. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Logos. In the beginning was Christ, the Son of God. His existence always has been. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus has always been, even prior to when he came to earth. He was there for all that was made. John is here laying out the existence of not just God, but God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the deity that is God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. All of this is an explanation of Christ prior to the day that he came to earth. And so then in verse 5, we get what we need to kind of transition into verses 6 through 8. The light of Christ, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light of Christ that is in men shines in the darkness. Right. So the word for shine there, it's a present active indicative verb. It means that the nature of the light is to shine. It means that the light will continue to shine regardless of efforts to snuff it out. We read that the darkness has not overcome the light, right? And so its nature is to be the light. And so why does John write this? Well, this helps us understand verses 6 through 8. The first five verses take place outside of worldly time. It's an explanation to us of who Jesus is, who this whole gospel that John is writing is about. And so as we read all of this, we come to verse 6, and John brings us, different John, right? There's John who's writing this, and then we're going to read about a guy named John. They're not the same John. He's not writing about himself in the third person. Just want to give that clarification before we get there. But so in verse 6, he brings us into time. And he says that there is a man sent from God whose name was John. We're now brought from the outside of time, understanding just the general, I say general, but it's pretty great when we think about the existence of who God is. But he brings us from that point and he sets us down in time when he says that there was a man sent from God. So now we're in earthly time. Okay, now we understand there's this man sent from God. His name is John. This is, of course, John the Baptist, as we see with clarification given in verses 7 and 8. John came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. John didn't come so that he could baptize everybody in water and thus save the world through doing so. John didn't come to be looked at and to be treated as the Messiah, though many tried to argue that he would be the Messiah. John didn't come to start or build the church. In fact, John doesn't even live long enough to see the church's formation. John's purpose, John was sent by God with a purpose, and that purpose is to be a witness. He came to give testimony to the light. A witness is someone who is to tell the truth and only the truth. They don't give their opinions. They don't get to share all the extraneous details about their day, the type of bagel that they ate before they got up and how long it took them to get to the courthouse. None of that matters, right? When there's a witness in a courthouse, they're telling their part that fits into the story. It's a witness. They only tell the truth about what matters there in that moment. It's not about the witness. It has nothing to do with them except that they were there to witness something. And John's testimony is given to us here in the Bible, in the gospel. It's specifically given in this gospel of John. And the purpose is that all should come to believe in Christ, to believe in Jesus, the Messiah. Right? John's purpose, his testimony, is to lead people to Christ. We believe in Jesus through someone's witness. In this case, we're reading of the witness of John the Baptist. John, his witness is the vehicle to bring people into a belief in Jesus as the Messiah. And that's what verse 8 clarifies. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. See, faith is accepting the testimony, what we read in the Bible, about Jesus, our Messiah, about the light, about the Son of God. John came and he shares his testimony, he shares his witness that Jesus is the Messiah. He came to share the light with the world so that they might believe not in him, but in Jesus, the light. And so verses 9 through 18, they then explain more about Jesus, born into the world but not of the world. We read of what we're called to be witnesses to. We read of the birth of the Messiah, the babe who came to save. And so John 1 verse 9, it says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the Son, only as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known.'" Right, so we're not going to spend a ton of time looking into the details of these verses, but it's important to keep these words in mind. I don't like to just pick pieces of Scripture out and just talk about, you know, what three sentences in the Bible says. I think it's important for us to know what is being said before or after to make sure we get the full picture. And so Jesus is described as the light in verses 9 through 13 as he comes to the world, and he comes to his own people, to the Jewish people, and they don't recognize him. And then he brings the light to the entire world, offering them all an opportunity to believe. And then in verses 14 through 18, it speaks of Jesus' incarnation. It speaks of him coming to the earth, fully man, the Word dwelling among us, the fullness of God, of whom John the Baptist bore witness to. And we read of the unique relationship between God the Father and God the Son. And then we get to verses 19 through 23, which speak of the light as a testimony of John the Baptist. So verse 19, it says, "And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' So they said to him, 'Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord," as the prophet Isaiah said." So after John, the author of the Gospel of John, right? After John lays out the basic template of Christ's existence as the light and his purpose for coming to the earth, he then jumps right into the testimony of John the Baptist, this witness to the light. These verses are specifically a conversation between John the Baptist and the Jewish priests sent from Jerusalem to challenge John. But when we're reading this, it's also representative of a bigger picture. The picture of the gospel and of Jesus being this light to the world. And we're going to see that as we break it down a little bit. This time of Advent, it's a time in which we speak of the anticipation of Christ's coming. The first week we looked at the end times and the anticipation that we currently exist in, waiting for Christ to return to the earth to collect his church. And last week we looked at the importance of preparedness, of not being caught flat-footed and surprised, not only for Jesus' return, but even just in our day-to-day lives. What are we doing to be prepared to ensure we're not surprised by what God is doing? And while for us there isn't really any surprise about the birth of Christ, given that we know it's already happened, and it's the purpose for this holiday that we celebrate once a year, while there may not be any surprise, we would be foolish to not still prepare for whatever it is that God has in store for us each Christmas season, let alone each day in our lives. And so, are we prepared to allow God to move in our lives, right? That was part of the message that we had last week. And so now this morning, as we've been building up to this, now we have this text that talks about a better understanding of the light, the light that is Jesus, the Savior that we celebrate the birth of each year. We read of John being approached by this group of Jewish priests and Levites asking, "Who are you?" These priests, these Levites, they're representative of unbelievers today, people who do not know Christ, people who have not seen the light of Jesus. And John, while not Jesus, is effectively representative of those who can bear witness to the light of Christ. And so in response to their question, John answers honestly, but he doesn't actually answer their question. Especially not the way they had expected him to, right? They just ask, "Who are you?" And he says who he's not, right? He answers with a negative answer, so to speak. Because the first thing he says in truth is that he's not Christ. He doesn't say, "Oh, I'm John the Baptist." He just says, "Well, I'm not Christ." This denial would not only serve to tell the priest that he's not the Christ, but also those who were misled, those who may have been trying to follow John the Baptist and make him into the Messiah, people who were anxious for the revolution that they had pictured that would come with the Messiah. And so instead of saying, "Here I am, I'm John," he says, "I'm not the Christ," this declaration to those who could hear him. Before he says anything more, they question him further. In verse 21, he gets asked a couple follow-up questions. So they ask, "Are you Elijah?" And John answers, "I'm not." It's well understood that according to Jewish teaching, Elijah would return to the earth before the Messiah would come. And so believing that, they assume, well, maybe John then, if he's not Christ, if he's not the Messiah, maybe he's this return of Elijah leading up to the Messiah. And he says, I'm not Elijah, because he's John. So they continue, are you the prophet? And he answers, no. And the prophet being referred to this time is a prophet that was to come, one who was greater than even Moses. And with that belief, they're asking if perhaps John the Baptist is that man. Are you the prophet? And once again, he says, I am not. That's not me. In only a few words, John's beginning to share the testimony of the light that is Jesus, simply by confessing and denying their questions as to who he is. In doing so, as I'm sure you guys would imagine, if you were asking, who are you, and someone's saying who they're not, you'd be a little confused and still wondering, well, who are you then? If you're not him, you're not him, you're not him, who are you? And so in verse 22, they ask again, who are you? Adding that they have an answer that needs to be given to those who sent them. They're basically saying, hey, the higher-ups, leadership back in Jerusalem, they want to know. So can you just give like a real answer so I can come back with an answer? Because if I come back and I say, well, he's not the Christ, he's not Elijah, and he's not the prophet, they're going to go, yeah, but who is he? I sent you out there to find out who he is. You come back with who he's not. And so they ask again, who is he? We have to give an answer. And so after entertaining the notions of who John possibly could have been, only to end up back where they started, they ask, hoping for a positive response. Can you give us an affirmative as to who you are? And in verse 23, John answers that he is the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah had said. John refers to himself as the least important aspect to this answer as possible. He's not the prophet. He's not known and great. He's certainly not Elijah. He's not from the past. He's just a voice. A voice in the wilderness. He quotes Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, saying that he's a voice announcing that Christ is coming and that they should repent before he arrives. To make one's path straight, one would repent and be baptized. John is simply saying that he's a witness to the light that is to come. And given that he knows the light of Jesus is coming, his purpose is to testify to it, to prepare the way, to lead people to repentance and baptism in preparation for Christ. And so while John represented Elijah spiritually in the work he's doing, he's not a physical manifestation of the prophet Elijah. So he answers he's not Elijah. He answers he's not the prophet. He answers he's not Christ the Messiah. He says, I'm a voice. I'm a voice in the wilderness. And these priests, these Levites, certainly would know what he was referring to. When he references Isaiah 40, verse 3, they knew it. They weren't surprised by what he's taking. They're maybe surprised by what he chooses to say, but they know that text. What John is doing here in these verses is effectively the first advent. He's preparing all who will listen to him to prepare for the coming of the light, for the coming of the Messiah. He's telling the world, bearing witness to the truth, that he knows that Jesus is coming and that they should repent and be baptized. What we must struggle with today is that we already know this truth. We have it all written down in this book. They didn't have this half of the book then, right? They only had the front half. And it was in scrolls, and you had to go to the temple to have someone read it, right? We have the fortunate gift that not only do we have the totality of the Bible, but I can look it up on my phone, I can go onto Google, I can find a Bible in every hotel room. I mean, Bibles are everywhere. And so we know this story very well. We know that Jesus came. We know that he lived a perfect life. We know that he died in our place. We know that he was raised on the third day. So how do we refresh seeing the light? How do we renew the experience? I'll tell you the easiest way, though it may not be the way we all want to hear. The easiest way would simply be to reflect the light of Jesus in our lives so that we can lead someone else to the same light. There's no way for us to re-experience finding the light. Once you found the light, there's no way to re-experience that except in when you watch someone else find the light of Christ. Who here can recall specifically the day, the moment that they got saved? For some of us, that answer may be, it was this day, this time, I was doing this or that. Some of us, maybe it's not so clear. It's okay either way. I'm not trying to, chastise anyone who can't remember the specific moment. I know that I accepted Christ at 13, though I don't remember specifically the day. And I was baptized back when the church was the other way around. So I was in the front of the church being baptized, not in the back. And then I remember that at 19, I was blessed to visit Israel, and that's when I feel that God really opened me up to who he was. I didn't come to Jesus, however, simply by chance. Someone in my life was my John the Baptist. I praise God that I was raised in a Christian household so that my John the Baptist was my parents. I can also give a lot of credit to this church and to Lydia and Bobby, who were my Sunday school teachers at the time as well. Right? But if I look back in my life and I'm trying to decide who is it that is my John the Baptist, my John the Baptist is my parents because they raised me to know who Jesus is. For some of us here, you may not have met Jesus in a church. In fact, for many people, that's the case, right? I mean, someone, your John the Baptist, found you at a grocery store or, is the coworker you've always worked with and then they finally just said, hey, have you ever been to church? I mean, we all could have different stories. All of us have a unique individual testimony, and there is somebody who was our John the Baptist, somebody who pointed us to Christ. Maybe you don't even remember who it was. Maybe your John the Baptist was some guy at a vacation Bible school many, many, many years ago that made you go, oh, I should read that Bible again. I don't know, right? Each of us has somebody, though, who pointed us to Christ. Someone who left the safety of their church and went into their wilderness, into the world, and shared the light, shared their testimony with you. We serve a God who so badly wants us to come into a relationship with us that, as it says in John 3:16, he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Who are we then to take the gift that God so freely has given to us and say, well, I'm only going to share the gospel when someone walks into this church building? This isn't the only place that we can be light. We need to reflect the light of Christ everywhere. We're called to be witnesses, and we see a perfect example in John the Baptist, the witness to the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Let's finish reading our text for this morning, verse 24. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, then why are you baptizing, if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? And John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. In these verses, we get the last bit of context, which yet again points to John saying, I'm not the Messiah. Far be it from me to even suggest that I'm the Messiah, right? He says, I baptize with water. There's one coming who's so much greater, I can't even untie his sandals, right? We looked at that last week. John was sent by God to be a witness to the light, and so John does exactly that. He says, this is my purpose. You got it, God. He goes out to the wilderness. It doesn't say that he goes into the temple courts, that he hangs out with all the Pharisees and the scribes and the Jewish leaders, and he talks amongst them, and he says, well, if anyone comes in, I'm going to tell them all about the light. He goes into the wilderness. He's out where anybody could find him. He's witnessing to the world. As we're rapidly approaching Christmas, during this time of Advent, this time of anticipation and waiting for the celebration on Christmas Day, 8 days from now, if you're keeping count, we're called to be witnesses, and we ought to live like it. In Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and on his last day with the disciples, it reads, "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.'" Christ charges his disciples to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. That's a wide charge, right? It starts with Jerusalem, then it spreads out to Judea, then it goes into Samaria, and then he says, and to the end of the earth. Anyone know where the end of the earth is? Around and around you go, right? Keep on going. Share the gospel everywhere you go. That's what Christ charges the disciples to do before he is taken up. Be witnesses everywhere. So here's a question with a simple answer. Are there people today who have not yet seen the light? Yes. Are there people today that do not know Jesus? The answer, of course, is yes. And so I want us to pause for a minute. I'm going to do something little different from normal. I'm going to take a pause here in a few minutes. Each of us has at least one person in our lives that has not yet come to see Christ, that doesn't see the light. Maybe it's a sibling or a parent, a cousin, a family friend, a coworker, an acquaintance, the guy you always talk to at the cash register when you're getting your groceries. I don't know who it is for each of us, but I want us to take a minute and just think of one person. And so, if you grabbed a bulletin, write their name down here. I'm going to just spend a minute in silence. I want us to actually think. Don't just go, "Oh, this person." Give God a minute to speak to you and see who God is leading you to think of. And so we're going to spend a minute in silence. You can close your eyes if you want so you don't have to look at me or whatever. But just think for a minute of somebody, someone that you know who hasn't seen the light. Now, you guys all thought of somebody. Maybe you're still thinking. I'm sorry for interrupting. But you all thought of someone for a reason. See, I believe if you took me seriously just now and you actually said, "God, who is it that you want me to speak to?" Spoiler alert, that's my charge. Because I want you guys to actually be the light in that person's life. I firmly believe that if you were serious about this, and you thought of someone in your life that needs a John the Baptist to be their witness, surprise, you're their John the Baptist. Right? I think God would put on our hearts, the Holy Spirit would put on our hearts somebody that we know that needs the light. And I think God is putting that person on our hearts, not so that we all know, okay, yeah, that's the guy, and move on, but so that we would be challenged to speak to that person, to reach out to them, especially in a time where everyone is more likely to listen to you, to hear out what you have to say. You can be that person's witness to the light. It's now your turn to be the voice crying out in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." In this season of waiting, where we're waiting for Christmas and the festivities, the celebration, the joy of the birth of our Savior, Let's not sit on our hands waiting. At NCC, our mission is to be a people who glorify God and make disciples by calling everyone to grow together into the abundant life of Christ. To do that effectively, we prioritize these values, that we as a church are dependent on God, that we're equipped by Scripture, that we're led by compassion, and that we're sent on mission. And our mission is to be Christ's witnesses to the light. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16, we've read this now a while back in our Matthew series. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." We are the light because we reflect the light of Christ in our lives, because we are witnesses to the light that we have seen. As I wrap up our sermon for this morning, I want us all to seriously pray about being a witness to that person who came to mind. Write their name down. Put it on a sticky note that you put over top of your phone every night when you charge it, so that before you even look at your phone, you have to pick up that sticky note and be reminded, I've got to talk to this person. I've got to be praying for them. I have to be seeking God in their lives. Write their name down. Pray over them daily. And most importantly, get off our hands, go out into our wilderness, as John the Baptist did, and be that voice. Be the witness to whoever it is that God put on your heart this morning. I'm going to close now in prayer, and as we pray for them and for our time this morning, I would just encourage you guys, don't wait on it. We all have a testimony that we can share. There's a reason all of us are here this morning. Someone brought us here at one point or another. Someone directed us here. God has brought us all here this morning to hear this message. And so let's not be lazy. Let's not allow the busyness of this season to prevent us from sharing with someone else the importance of this season. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so, so much for who you are. Lord, I first and foremost want to lift up everyone that has been thought of this morning in this time. Lord, you know the names of each person that we thought of. Our friends, our co-workers, our family. You know each of them by name. You know the hairs on their head. You know everything about this person. Father, I pray that you would give us the courage and the joy and excitement in knowing and having the light in our lives, so that we would go before all of those people that you've put on our heart this morning, and that we would share that light, that we would be witnesses to the light. Father, we can't thank you enough that you sent Jesus into this world for us, a people wrought with sin and wrongdoing, a people that had turned their backs on their Creator. Father, in your great love for us, you sent Jesus into this world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Lord, we are so thankful for that. I pray that that truth, that message would be on our hearts all week long. Lord, let us be a voice crying out in the wilderness that is the world, sharing the light of Christ everywhere we go. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we pray all of this in your name. Amen.